Okay, and where we leave off yesterday, we were discussing yesterday the machlokas between the Ran / Yad Ramah versus Rashi and the Rambam. Basically, in the concept of Chazakein of the Mamar Atzmal Mamono. So again, just to quickly review, Chazakein of the Mamar Atzmal Mamono, Rashi and the Rambam understood, means it's a Chazakein that a person is just not going to stand idly by and watch you take his money. Rather, what is he going to do? He's going to yell, stop it. But, you know, he's not going to kill you, he's just going to try to stop you. And therefore, the ganav, knowing that, is going to want to kill you. Knowing that you're going to try to stop him, is going to be prepared to kill you so that you don't stop him. Whereas the Ran and the Yad Ramah say, no, the ganav has no interest in killing you. The ganav, if you're just going to tell him to stop it, would be more than happy to just walk out and find some other house to rob. What the ganav is concerned about is that you're going to be so upset when you find him there that the balabais is going to kill him, that the balabais is going to want to kill the ganav. So the ganav is only prepared to kill because he thinks the balabais is going to want to kill him. That's the whole svara. So really the murder starts, the first one to think of murder in the whole scenario is the balabais, according to the Ran. It's not the ganav. Why then is the ganav called a rodef? Because he's the one that put the balabais in that position. By him breaking into the house, he's the one that made the balabais get so angry that the balabais wants to kill him. And the ganav did an avera that caused the balabais to be in that position. So his avera makes him a rodef, even though his actual avera is not one of redifa. Meaning, let's say you find Reuven chasing after Shimon. Shimon turns around and shoots Reuven because Reuven's trying to kill him. So would you call Shimon the rodef? Certainly not. Shimon's not a rodef. It was Reuven's idea to kill Shimon. So the Ran asked the Kasha, why, according to his own understanding, that the only reason the ganav is willing to kill the balabais is because the balabais is willing to kill the ganav. So the Ran is asking the Kasha, so then why is the ganav a rodef? It's self-defense. He's only willing to kill because the balabais wants to kill him. So says the Ran, no, it's not self-defense because he made that situation happen. He, through his avera of breaking into somebody else's house, made the balabais want to kill him. So I think we saw yesterday in the Sefer Birchas Shai, one of the Achronim, the Kasha, that how do we understand the case of Ben Ala'av in light of the Ran, and we got a couple of Terutzim. So let's put that aside for now. There is something else. There is one more thing before within this Machlokas, Ran and Rashi, before we move on to the next major inyan that I want to discuss. Before we move on to the next major machlokas, a major inyan that I want to discuss, there's one more issue to discuss over here. And that is, there is a sugya maseches bav basra in Dav Zayin. The Gemara bav basra, in the first parak, talks about collecting taxes from people. The Gemara talks about how you have to, different members of a community have to share the burden of paying for a police force, paying for walls around the city, paying for garbage pickup, and all the different things that we pay for. That's what Rav Shachter always likes to point out, that people, when they quote the Ran in Nedarim, that there's no Dina de Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael, because the whole Din of Dina de Malchus Adina, the way the Ran understands it, is that we have to listen to the law of the land, because the land belongs to the Melech. So the Melech gets to make his rules about what it takes to live there. So the Ran says, but Eretz Yisrael belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't belong to the Melech. It doesn't belong to whatever government is running the land. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. So they don't get to make rules for us to who gets to live there. We're Jews. We have a right of return. We have a right of living in our homeland, of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ran says there's no Dina Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why all the Haredim, they know one Ran. And even if they only know one Ran, this is the Ran they know. The Ran says no Dina Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because then they don't have to pay taxes. You don't have to pay taxes if there's no Dina Malchus Adina, because paying taxes is all Dina Malchus Adina. So Shachter points out, most taxes have nothing to do with Dina Malchus Adina. Most taxes are really a din in what the Gemara Bava Basra talks about, which is like a din of shutfus. That if I live somewhere, let's say I live in an apartment building. So one of the services we get in the apartment building is that we have light bulbs in the hallways. That it's not my hallway, it's not someone else, but there are light bulbs in the hallway, so that when I walk to my apartment, I could have light. I'm not going to be walking in the dark. So who's responsible to pay for the light bulbs in the hallways? So there's a fee that every tenant pays that covers things like that. It covers whatever common expenses. Let's say there's a tile broken on the staircase, or the elevator breaks, or something like that. So there's a fee that all of the residents of the apartment building pay, and it goes, it's a shutfus. We're all shutfim in that area, so of course we have to pay for those things that we benefit from. Most of taxes, most of what we pay when it comes to taxes, is for things that are shutfus. I'm not paying for the king to have his road paved for his, for his chariots. I'm paying for the roads to be paved because I use the roads also, and my neighbor uses the roads, and we're shutfim. It has nothing to do with dina malchus adina. So anyway, in that context, Gemara Bava Basra discusses what if you have the following situation: they're collecting taxes to build a wall for the city. So how do you decide how much each balabas in the city pays for the taxes to build a wall in the city? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan holds over there that it's nikva lefi mamon. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. Is it lefi nefashos hein govin or lefi mamon hein govin? Meaning, let's say Bill Gates, I don't know if he has any children. He probably does, right? What does he have, two kids or something? Yeah, so let's say Bill Gates has two children. So in the Gates household, there are four people, right? And let's say I live in the same town. He probably has his own town. But let's say I were to live in the same town as one of Bill Gates' homes. So Kanina Hara, we have more than two children in the Leibowitz home. So, but he has a little more money than I have. So the question is, he's protecting more. His house is more expensive. His cars are more expensive. His pool exists. He's got a lot of things that are a lot more money than I have. So do we determine that I should pay more in taxes because the wall is there to protect us, and I'm protecting more people? And it should be based on lefi nefashos, based on how many people you're trying to protect. So I benefit more from the wall because we're protecting more nefashos. Or do we assume he should pay more taxes because it's about protecting your money, and he's protecting more money? So the Gemara says it goes based on, Rabbi Yochanan holds, it goes based on the mammon. And the Gemara explains that the reason is because when foreign soldiers come to the city, they're not interested in killing us. They're interested in our money. They want to take our money. If we put up a fight, they might kill us. Yeah, but that's not what they're interested in. They want our money. They're not interested in taking our lives. And therefore, it all depends on the amount you would pay would depend on the money. The amount you would pay would not depend on the nefashos. So, based on that, some of the achronim asked the following kasha. Tosfos over there, in Maseches Bava Basra, points out that or asks rather that our sugya allows a ganav above machteres, allows you to kill a ganav above machteres, because there's a chazaka in other mamonatsu al mamono, and certainly you're going to fight with the ganav and to try to save your money. The ganav knows that you're going to fight with him, and therefore he's coming in with the intent to kill you. The implication is when the ganav comes to steal your money, he also has in the back of his mind to kill the balabayas. So, because he knows that it might come to that. So when in mass they come to our town to kill us, let's say we have a town with a wall around it. So when there's a troop, a soldier, an army of soldiers that come to the town to attack us, so granted, they only want the money, just like the ganav only wants the money, right? But just like by the Bab Machteres, by the Ganav that only wants the money, we take into account the fact that he's already thinking about killing us, and therefore I'm allowed to kill him. Why, when it comes to levying taxes, don't we also take into account that these soldiers are already thinking about killing us? Because don't they have the same mentality? They want our money, and if we put up a fight, they will kill us and then take our money. They're either going to take our money, or they'll kill us and then take our money. So either way, they're taking our money. But the idea of killing us has entered their minds. So shouldn't they be one giant Baba Machteres? In which case, if they're one giant Baba Machteres, shouldn't the halacha be that we collect lefi nefashos, not lefi mamon? Because after all, it is a nefashos issue. So Tosa says, difficult to understand what Tosa is talking about. He says, yeah, but they're really only coming for mamon. They're not coming to kill. But the bottom line is, all the achronim ask, what do you mean? But in our case also, the Bava Machteres is also, he's only coming for mamon. He's not coming to kill. So what's going on over here? Why over here do we take the killing into account as an eventuality? That's something that we have to be concerned with, and over there we don't. So the it's possible to suggest, that let's think about this in terms of the Ran and Rashi. If you say like Rashi, so what does Rashi hold? That the Bab Machteres is going to come, and because when we try to stop him, he's going to want to kill us. So that's what makes him a Rodef, right? That would be an exact parallel with this Gaius Habaliir, with these troops that break into the city. They want your money. When you try to stop them, they will kill you. That would be a good kasha. But if you say like the Ran, the kasha doesn't get off the ground. When a troop of soldiers breaks into the city, their plan is to take your money. If you stand up, their plan is to kill you. But the way the Ran says Bab Machteres is not that way. The Ran says Bab Machteres is that a guy breaks into your house, he wants your money. If you don't want to give it to him and you say, stop it, get out of here, without threatening his life, he would happily walk out the door and try to find another house and not have anything to do with you. That's the way the Ran understands. He would happily walk out the door. In that situation, Yutaka can't kill him. He's not a Rodef. What makes him a Rodef? The fact that we have a chazaka that you would kill him. It's the fact that there exists such a chazaka that you would kill him. That's what makes him a Rodef. Because it's only then that he would want to kill you. That metzias is probably not true by a Gaius Habaliir. By a Gaius Habaliir, they're not taking no for an answer. Even if you don't try to kill them, you say, stop, don't take my money. So they're not going to just say, oh, okay, we'll go to a different city. They came into a city. It's not like going next door to a different house. They came into a city. They're not just going to a different city. So they're much more directly willing to kill you in that case. Now, if that's the case, I didn't answer the kasha. I made the kasha worse, right? Meaning, what was the kasha? Why is it when it comes to the guy that's Bab Machteres, we treat it like an nefashos case? You can get up and you can kill him. We view it as if he's coming on nefashos, even though his ikar kavana is really only for the money. But by the gaius, we view it as if they're coming from mammon. That they're only coming from mammon. Right? By the gaius, we view it as if they're only coming from mammon. So what I say, that according to the Ran, the gaius is more after your life than the Bab Machteres is. Bab Machteres is only after your life because you're not going to let him walk out. The gaius is after your life, even if you would let him walk out, he'll kill you and take your money. But maybe you could take it from a different angle. The Bab Machteres, if you were to let him walk out, he wouldn't take your money. He would walk out and there would be no loss of money if you were to just let him go. The case of the Gaius Habaliir, the troops that come into the city, whether they kill you or not, one thing is for sure. They're definitely taking your money. So maybe over there, the reason we say that it's based on the theme Mamonam is because there's no doubt that there's Mamon. Is there going to be nefashos? Maybe yeah, maybe no. But there's no doubt that there's going to be mammon. By our case of Bab Machteres, is there going to be money taken? Well, if you do the smart thing, the cops told my father the smart thing, you just, you know, let them go, let them leave, or not even the smart thing, you do what my father did, let's say, in that case that we spoke about, where he just gets up and says, get out of my house! My father didn't have a weapon, he said, get out of my house! What did the guy do? The guy walked! And he didn't take anything more. It happened to be he had all the stuff in the car already. But he didn't take anything more once he walked, once he left the house. So it's not a vade that he's coming from mammon. So nefash, now, if both are a safek, is he going to kill and is he going to take money? Both are a safek. So then you're saying we view this as a nefashos case. But if the mammon is a vade and the nefashos is a safek, so then you'll view it as a mammon case. And that's the case by the gaius. I thought maybe you could say something like that. The other way to look at it is I saw in the Al Kabirim, he quotes from Rav Osner in Shevet Alevi. Rav Osner says, no, it's much more pashut. The chilik is much simpler chilik. Chilik is, if I see a guy in my house, I'll get up and I'll try to stop and I'll try to kill him. If I see a troop of soldiers come into my house, I have to be crazy to try to kill them. It's a troop of soldiers. Who am I? I'm one guy. So I would never try to stand up for myself. It's never going to rise to nefashos. Because the whole reason it rises to nefashos in our case, chazak in adam mamon atzmal mamono. Over there, you don't have such chazak in adam mamon atzmal mamono, because of course he's going to be mamon atzmal mamono. There's a whole troop of soldiers that just broke into his house, so of course he's going to sit back and let them take his stuff. You'd have to be crazy to try to stop them. Okay, that's just a ha'ara from Basra Dav Zayin. More locally, the Achronim discuss, you know, we have this machlokas. What does Chazakin of the Mamanatz Mamono mean? But in addition, and we had a kasha on the Shita Saran from the Gemara later on with Ben Alaaf. So we were able to fetch out of the kasha. Did we discuss this yesterday, what the nature of Chazaka is? Why Chazaka, that sounds like, no? So, well, one thing that we have to ask ourselves is, good, the Ran could kvetch out a Teretz. He could kvetch out a Teretz, why his Shita also makes sense. But why would he say it? What's his Chiddush? Like, what motivated the Ran to say that a Baba Machteres is only willing to kill because he thinks you're willing to kill him? That's pretty, it's twisted logic a little bit. The Gemara says, "Ein adam mamad atzmal mamono." The guy is not. When was the first time the Gemara mentioned the word kill? Right in the first few lines of the Gemara. Amar of my time in the Machteres. Where's the first time the word killing comes in there? So what does it say? Chazaka ein adam mamad atzmal mamono. Vahai, the Ganav, Meimar Amar, Iazilna, Koila, Apoye, Velo Shavakli. I know what the Baal Bais is going to do. He's going to. Doesn't say kill. He's not going to leave me. He's going to confront me. He's going to try to stop me. Nothing about kill. Where's the first time the word killing comes in? Vi'ikoila Apoye, the Ganav says, when he tries to confront me, Katil Nalei, I'm going to kill. Where on earth did the Ran see in that the Ganav thinks the Baal Bais is going to kill him? The words Pasha don't say it. The words say that the Ganav thinks the Baal Bais is going to be Ka'ila Apa'i, Lo Shavikli, not kill. Why would the Ran come up with such a strange pshat, such an unusual pshat? So I saw some of the Achronim suggested it was based on the word Chazaka. Chazaka means that, well, let's even leaving out the definition of the word chazaka. Chazaka means six different things in Shas. Okay, we're not going to go through all six things. Over here, the chazaka means a ruba de lesa kaman. Familiar with the difference of ruba de lesa kaman versus a ruba de isa kaman? Ruba de isa kaman would be if you find a piece of meat on Central Avenue, unwrapped, not in packaging, and you're hungry. So, can you eat the piece of meat? So you do a quick cheshbon. How many stores sell, piece of pastrami? Traditions and King David and Brachs and Gormiklad. And you go through the list and how many sell non-kosher? Subway, I think, now is non-kosher, right? There's still a non-kosher Subway there. Okay, good. So it's 20 to 1. Kosher to non-kosher. So you figure, okay, so it's kosher. That's a Ruba de Isa Kaman. You can count the stores. You know exactly. Ruba de Lesa Kaman is this kind of a chazaka in adam amar atzmal mamono. Did we gather everyone together and do studies where we had them go to sleep at night and then broke into their house and see how they reacted? No, we don't. We never counted. There's no counting people. It's just, we know it's a rove. That's what people do. Ruba de lesa kaman. It's not in front of us. We can count it. It's just a rove. But if you're writing this gemara, what's the key? The gemara wants to know, why is it you're allowed to kill above machteres? So the gemara's answer should be that the Ganav will say, Iazilna Kailapai, Velo Shavakli Vi Kailapai Katanalai. That the Ganav is already thinking, he's already thinking through how the confrontation is going to go. What's the Gemara adding by first throwing in Chazaka Ein Adam Amar Atzmal Mamono? A Chiddush! There's a Chazaka that a person doesn't watch you take his money and sit there with his arm folded. With his arms folded. A Chazaka! That's a Chiddush? That's a Chazaka? If you were to walk up to my desk right now and try to take my computer out of my bag, I would say, hello, excuse me, what are you doing? I need a chazaka that ain't of the mamar atzmal mamono. It's a davar pashut. What's the Gemara teaching me over there? So the Ran says, it can't just be teaching me that a person wouldn't just let you take his money. That's obvious. It must be that there's something more. That a chazaka ain't of the mamar atzmal mamono must mean something more than that. Namely, that not only am I not just going to watch you take it, but I'm going to kill you if you take it. That's where he gets it from. Chazaka. Now, how would you defend Rashi? Why would it say Chazaka and Mamad Asam Mono isn't something that's Gantz Pashut? Of course, it's Zaynad Mamad Asam Mono. I'm not going to sit there with my arms folded watching me take my stuff. So, probably the way you defend Rashi is simply you'd say that it's not so Pashut. It's not so Pashut that I'm going to try to stop you at all. I might be scared. cops told my father that when someone broke into your house, the thing to do is pretend you're sleeping. Let them steal what they want, pretend you're sleeping. So it is a chiddush that ain't on the mama not smell the mana. It is a bit of a chiddush. Okay, that's all I wanted to say about the Ran and Rashi. Next thing I wanted to discuss, which I apologize, I didn't make it to the Beis Medrash today during Seder time, so I'm not sure what you guys were working on today. The thing I wanted to discuss, which I think is the primary lumdus in the sugya, is the machlokas Rav and Rava going on in the sugya. That Rav holds your no-tell, you take the camera. Again, the guy took my camera out of my parents' house. He broke the storm door on the way out. So that he's for sure pater on. As I up the Mishnah, it says Beferish in the Mishnah that way, that he's pater on the storm door that he broke on the way out. What about the camera that he took with him? So Rav holds, we catch him today, 20 years later, with my camera. We say, hey, oh, there's my camera, can I have it back? The halach is he does not have to give it back. That Bedam Kaninu, he's the owner of the camera right now, he has no chiv to give it back. Kam le bidrabine covers that. And Rava says, no. If he has it, if he still has it, he has to give it back. If he broke it, he doesn't have to give it back. Fundamental question. When Rava says if he broke it, he doesn't have to give it back, does Rava mean that if he broke it after taking it out of my house, he doesn't have to give it back? Or does Rava mean if he broke it in my house, he doesn't have to give it back? And it's going to be shver whichever way you go. It's going to be difficult whichever way you try to say it. Why? How did you understand? When Rava says that if he breaks it, then he's pater, but if he still has it, he's got to give it back. So what does it mean? Breaks it when? Shadinu b'nahara. If he threw it into the river, then he's pater. Threw it into the river when? When he was in my house, he chucked it from my house into the river? The river that's in my house? Or whatever? Or he broke it in my house? Or does it mean he took it out of my house and then later, whatever, a week later, he threw it into the river? How did you understand it? No? What did you think when you read the Gemara? That he broke it later. That's how I read it also. Shadim Minar sounds like that. That he threw it into the river later. He took it out of the house, he has my camera, and then he threw it into the river afterwards. What's the problem with that? According to Rava, let's say he threw it in a week later, right? A week after he left my house. He broke it a week after he left my house. 6 days after he left my house, if we would have found him, we would have found him with an intact camera, right? He would have to give it back to me. So it's mine, right? Everyone agrees. 6 days later, it's mine. It's supposed to come back to me. And then he breaks it. Did he break his thing or did he break my thing? No? He broke my thing. Was he chayiv misa at the moment that he broke my thing? No. So why is he pater? What's the svar of Rava? He should be chayiv in that case. He broke my thing, he broke it after. He should be chayiv. So what do we want to say? So maybe you can say, okay, maybe we got pshat wrong. Maybe he broke it means he broke it when he was in the house. But if he took it out of the house even for a second, and then he breaks it later, of course he's going to have to pay, because he broke my thing. No, it must be that when Rava says you're pater, if you broke it in the house. Well, then Rava's not teaching me anything that the Mishnah didn't already teach me. Because the Mishnah already says, if he jumped through my storm door, he's pater. If he broke something in my house, he's pater. So man of shech, we're in trouble over here. How are we going to send pshat in this Gemara? To confuse us a little bit more before we develop the two approaches that the Rishonim have, take a look. Hope you had a chance. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Mem Gimel. Had a chance to see it? Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Mem Gimel. This is the backbone of the sugya. Trying to figure out how this Gemara fits with our Gemara. Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Amar Rabba, Hayman de Gozel Chavis de Chamra Michavrei. This Gemara appears in Bava Kama as well, by the way. A guy steals a barrel of wine. Chavisa de Chamra. Remember one of the first Gemara Shirim I ever gave? The word Chamra came up, and I kept on translating it as donkey. Someone came up to me afterwards and goes, great Shir, but I think Chamra might be wine. I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense. So a guy stole a barrel of wine from his friend. Meikara Shavi Zuza Hasha Shavi Arba. Someone asked him about Machteris over here. So a guy stole. He was never chayv misa for anything. So it was worth a zuz when he stole it. Now it's worth four zuz. Wine went up in value. Tavro Shasya, and then he breaks it or he drinks it, Mishalim Arba. He has to pay 4 zuz, the value that it has right now. Itvar Memela Mishalim Zuza. If it just breaks on its own, so it's just gone, it's just not here, so then he only has to pay 1 zuz. So says where my time, huh? What's the svara? Why were we mechalik? So kibin di say hadra lamarbeina. The second before he drank it, the second before he broke it, we found him with this bottle of wine. What would we tell him? Give back the bottle of wine. How much is that bottle of wine worth? 4 zuz. So when he breaks it, when he drinks it, he's doing damage, he's stealing. How much? 4 zuz. So that's why if he breaks, he's going to have to pay 4 zuz. Makes a lot of sense. Why, if it breaks on its own, does he only have to pay 1 zuz? The Gemara says, Hashalav Avlav Lomidi. Because he's not doing anything right now. Where was his only crime? If he stole it a week ago, and now he has it, and it breaks, I don't know, it just bursts on its own. Where was his Maisa Avera? His Maisa Avera was a week ago when he stole it. At that time, how much was it worth? 1 zuz. So he pays 1 zuz. Good. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara recognizes the fact that if I steal something, and then it changes in value, and I do another Maisa Avera, I break it, I drink it, I do a new Maisa Avera on it. It's a new act of Gzela, and I'm going to have to be responsible for that. So how does that work with Rav over here, Bava Mechteres? And keep in mind, over there, I cut out the margin over there, but where it says I'm a Rabba, on the margin says Rava. It's Rava talking, both places. So our same Rava says in our case, I take the camera, the guy takes the camera out of my house, and a week later he breaks it. So the way we understood the Gemara at first, right, let's keep with that and say a week later he breaks it, he's potter. Why is he potter? There were 2 Maisa Averas over here. So the first Maisa Avera, when he stole it from my house, when he was in my Machteres, of course he's potter. Kamad Dramine at that time, he was Chayv Misa. I get that. That's fine. Why is he potter now? He's doing a new Maisa Avera right now. So why is he going to be potter? So this is the kasha. Now, would this be a kasha if you understood Rava and our Gemara as saying that the case where you're potter is only if you break it in the Machteres? But then this Gemara would work out great. If I break it in the Machteres, I'm potter. That's what Rava says in the Gemara. And over here in Mem Gimel in Bab Metzia would be if I break it later. Then I'd be chayiv to pay for breaking it later. That would work great. So Bab Metzia would be a lot neater if our Gemara just meant that Rava was, when Rava says that you're potter when you break it, if you break it in the Machteres. That would make a lot of sense. And once you're out of the Machteres, you're going to be chayiv. Right, that would work a lot better. But again, the problem is, it's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it. The Mishnah already teaches me that if you break it in the Machteres. So Rav's not telling me Chiddush. And there's another problem also. How do you translate Shadinu Benahara? I'm throwing it into a river. Hilchsa de Shadinu Benahara. The Rav would hold that you're potter when you throw it in a river. I'm throwing it in a river in the Machteres. It's a little hard to visualize. So some of the Acharim say, yeah, it's exactly what you're doing. You chuck it from the Machteres into the river, and that's all the world's problems are solved. Except for the fact that it makes no sense. I mean, that's quite an ukimta to add into the Gemara. So there are a couple of different approaches in the Rishonim over here. Let's take a look for a second. Let's take a look at the Balamar. Balamor on Yud Zayin Amal Daf Erif has a mechudishtik way of reading our Gemara. Says the Balamor Yud Zayin Amal on the right side of the page Hamor Hagadol. At the Balamor, for those who maybe haven't done many Balamors in your life, the Balamor wrote his Sefer as a young man. I think they say he was 17 years old when he published the Balamar, as a critique of the Rif. Now, the Rif was the most widely respected Gadol. The Rif, of course, is the first one to put the Gemara into halacha, really, to organize it as halacha. And then a lot of others followed. Rush, the Rambam. The Rambam descends in his intellectual lineage is straight from the Rif. Right? The Rambam never met the Rif. The Rambam wasn't alive when the Rif was alive. But his intellectual lineage descends straight from the Rif. That's why the Rambam writes in the Sakdama that he only argues on the Rif three times in all of Mishnah Torah. He never wants to argue on the Rif. Okay, he really argues more than that, so that's a kasha. But he says he only argues three times in all of Mishnah Torah and the Rif. The Rambam views himself as a Talmud of the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash was a Talmud of the Rif. So that's how the Rambam writes in the Sakdama that when he thinks about the godless of the Rimi Gash, he shakes. He can't even fathom the godless of the Rimi Gash. That's a Rambam talking. It's not Stam. The strange thing about the Rambam being a Talmud of the Rimi Gash, parenthetically, is that the Rambam was 5 years old and the Rimi Gash died. So he must have been quite a precocious 5-year-old if he was already a Talmud of the Rimi Gash at the age of 5. So they say that the Rimi Gash must have given him a bracha or something like that because the Rambam's father was really a Talmud of the Rimi Gash. Rambam was a Talmud of his father, and the Rimi Gash must have given him a bracha. But anyway, Baal HaMor had a critique of the Rif, and the Ramban thought chutzpah. A little kid's going to come along and write a critique of the Rif, even though Baal HaMor was quite brilliant. So the Ramban, Milchamas Hashem, tries to defend the Rif all the time. So Baal HaMor's attack over here isn't really so much of an attack. He just asks the Kasha, why does the Rif leave out Rav? Rav says that even if you're not telling you caught with my camera 20 years later, Rav says you don't have to give it back. Rav says, yes, you do. It's only if it's broken already that you don't have to give it back. So Frank the Baal HaMor, Tema shalo hu shalo hevi a rivzal bil chosav shmeita derav da'bab machers v'natal kelim v'yatza potter. Why doesn't he quote the statement of Rav that the guy took my camera and he walks out with it that he's potter? So mustarvel until chasakarava. So it must be that we are assuming that the Rav is assuming that we paskin like Rava. Damer mustarvel mil sidrav b'shashiver delesnehu. That we're only going to paskin like Rav if you broke the camera. But if he still has it, then you would have to give it back. V'amrit ibish shashiver ma'ikom mashmal masnisin hi. Oh, the kasha, wait a second. If all Rav is telling me is if you broke it, you're potter, the Mishnah already taught me that if you broke it, you're potter. It's already finished in the Mishnah. So yesh lahashiv dimi masnisin av amina hanimu bish shashiver bimach teres atzma. Says the Baal HaMor, from the Mishnah I only would have known that if you break it in the Machteres, you're potter. Rav is coming to tell me, the way we read the Gemara, that if you break it after leaving the Machteres, you're potter. I would have thought that just like after I leave the Machteres, it's a davar pashut, Rav would say that if I still have the camera, I have to give it back. So kishavar basrach yistachach dahashdu dekagazalhu. So I would think that if I break it now, I'm doing a new mice of stealing, just like the Gemara in of Metzia. That if I break it now after leaving Machteres, new mice of Gneva, and I'm going to have to pay for that. Good. K'ramirin v'man degazal chavizim mechavri meikar shavizuzlu b'sof shavi arba tavro shasim mishalim arba mishum dekivin de'ilu isa hadra b'nai ishtachuk tahi shaitu dekagazalai. So that would have been my havamina. Had I only had the Mishnah, I would have thought that if I take it out of the Machteres, Mimela I'm going to be Chayiv. Kamash Malon, Deshaini Din Rodef Mi Din Gazlan, De Rodef Michi Asul Yadi Kaninu Bedami Mehi Shaita. Says the Baal HaMor, unbelievable, that Rava would hold that when you walk out of the Machteres with the object, it is your object. It is the Ganav's object. It does not belong to the Balabais anymore. And that's why when he breaks it a week later, he's potter. Because he broke his own object. What's the kasha? Rava also says that if we catch him 6 days later before he breaks it, what do you have to do? He has to return it. The Baal HaMor just said Rava holds it's his object. It belongs to him now. He took it out. It's his. He made a kinyan. What kind of kinyan? Bedam kaninu. Whatever that means. He made a kinyan. It's his. So why would he have to give it back? Says the Baal HaMor, unbelievable. V'avagav d'chi isnu hadri b'enayu Chumrahu deramu rabbanan alei delihader mamona lemare. Ah, chumra midrabbanan that you have to give it back. Meaning, me ikar hadin Rava agrees with Rav. That kamlebit the Rabbi Minei over here is so strong that the object that you take from the machteris is considered belonging to the ganav. Why? Why isn't he chayiv to pay for it? Why doesn't he have to give it back? Because he was kona bedamim, he was chayiv misa at the time. So it belongs to him. It mamish belongs to him. If that's the case, that a mamish belongs to him, then why does he have to give it back at all? If he doesn't break it, why does he have to give it back? That's just a chumra midrabanan. That's an exception. That's just a chumra midrabanan. Why didn't Rav make this chumra midrabanan? Meaning, the chumra makes a lot of sense. That, like, why should we let this guy walk around with my camera? So granted, halachically speaking, technically, midoraisa, he could have gotten away with it and kept the camera. But it makes sense that the rabbanan wanted to make a chumra, that if he's got my camera, he's got to give it back to me. So why didn't Rav want to say this chumra? So says Balamar, Rav was a machmer of this chumra midrabanan because he thought saying this chumra midrabanan would undermine the entire concept of kumla bidramine. Because kumla bidramine tells me you're chayv miso, so you don't have to be chayv mamon. If we were to say this chumra midrabanan, the entire concept of kumla bidramine is going to be undermined. Because everyone's going to see, we're punishing him, giving him monetary punishment in addition to the misa that he was really chayv in the machteris. So it's going to undermine kumla bidramine. And Rava would respond, I'm not worried about undermining kumla bidramine because I'm not asking him to pay money. I'm asking him to give back a camera. And everyone knows that that camera belonged to me, not to him. So it's not going to undermine kumla bidramine. It would undermine kumla bidramine if he broke it and we're asking him to pay money. Because that looks a lot like an onesh. And you don't give an onesh if you already got another onesh, or if you already was chayiv another onesh. But it undermines kumla bidramine if I ask him to give me back the camera. That would be an undermining of kumla bidramine. So essentially, how do we start this conversation? There are two ways to understand Rava's shita and argamar. Either he breaks it in the machteris, that's when he's pater, or he's even pater if he breaks it outside of the machteris. We said man of shachur in trouble. If he breaks it when he's outside of the machteris, why is he pater? The Gemara Bamasiya says he should be chayiv. If he breaks it when he's inside the machteres, that's the case. He's pater. What's he teaching me that the Mishnah didn't already teach me? So Balamar is a very creative solution to this problem. That be'etzem, he should be pater, no matter when he breaks it. He should always be pater. Aye, what do we do with the Gemara Bamasiya? Rambam Mitzia, you could say that he had a new Maisa Geneva because it wasn't his when he broke it or when he drank it. Over here, the second Maisa is not a Maisa Geneva because through the first Maisa Geneva, it already became his. He gained ownership. How did it become his? Because he was Chayv Misa during the first Maisa Geneva. So that gave him ownership. So when he broke it, it was his. That's why he's always going to be Pater. He's always going to be Pater even if he breaks it later. Why then do you have to give it back if you still have it, if it's yours, if it's mamish yours? I mean, the real chiddush of the Balamar is that it's his. That's the real big chiddush of the Balamar. Once he says that chiddush, he has to back into the other chiddush that giving it back is only din rabbanan. But the real nekuda that the Balamar is mechadesh, that's like, whoa, this changes everything, is that even Rava holds that as soon as you walk out with it, it's already yours. It belongs to the ganav. And that solves most of the problems. It only leaves one new problem of why do you have to give it back? To solve that problem, he comes up with another whopper of a chiddush, that giving it back is only a din d'rabbanan. The Balamar is not particularly difficult to read. The Ramban is particularly difficult to read. So maybe, if you could work on that in Seder maybe tomorrow, we'll work on the Ramban a little bit. At least work on the Balamar and then try to work on the Ramban. I want to see the other approach in the sugya. What other way is there to possibly understand the sugya? So, okay. We'll stop there.